الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماء ويتفكرون في خلق السماء
الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم رب النور العظيم ورب الكرسي الرفيع ورب البحر المسجور ومنزل التوراة والإنجيل والزبور ورب الظل والحرور ومنزل القرآن العظيم ورب الملائكة المقربين والأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم إني أسألك بوجهك الكريم وبنور وجهك المنير وملكك القديم يا حي يا قيوم أسألك باسمك الذي أشرقت به السماوات والأرضون وباسمك الذي يصلح به الأولون والآخرون، يا حيان قبل كل حي، ويا حيان بعد كل حي، ويا حيان حين لا حي، يا محيي الموتى ومميت الأحياء، يا حي لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم بلغ مولانا الإمام الهادي المهدي القائم بأمرك صلوات الله عليه وعلى آبائه الطاهرين، عن جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها، سهلها وجبلها وبرها وبحرها، وعني وعن والدي من الصلوات زنة عرش الله ومداد كلماتي وما أحصاه علمه وأحاط به كتابه. اللهم إني أجدد له في صبيحة يومي هذا وما عشت من أيامي عهدا وعقدا وبيعة له في عنقي لا أحول عنها ولا أزول أبدا. اللهم اجعلني من أنصاره وأعوانه والذابين عنه والمسارعين إليه في قضاء حوائجه والممتثلين لأوامره والمحامين عنه والسابقين إلى إرادته والمستشهدين بين يدي. اللهم إن حال بيني وبينه الموت الذي جعلته على عبادك حتما مقضيا فأخرجني من قبري مؤتزرا كفني شاهرا سيفي مجردا قناتي ملبيا دعوة الداعي في الحاضر والبادي. اللهم أرني الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل ناظري بنظرة مني إلي وعجل فرجا وسهل مخرجا وأوسع منهجا واسلك بي محجتا وأنفذ أمرا واشدد أزرا واعمر اللهم به بلادك وأحيي به عبادك، فإنك قلت وقولك الحق ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. اظهر اللهم لنا وليك وابن بنت نبيك المسمى باسم رسولك حتى لا يظفر بشيء من الباطل إلا مزقا ويحق الحق ويحققا، واجعله اللهم مفزعا لمظلوم عبادك وناصرا لمن لا يجد له ناصرا غيرك ومجددا لما عطل من أحكام كتابك ومشيدا لما ورد من أعلام دينك وسنن نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله، واجعله اللهم ممن حصنته من بأس المعتدين. اللهم وسر نبيك محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله برؤيته ومن تبعه على دعوته، وارحم استكانتنا بعده. اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة بحضوره، وعجل لنا ظهورا، إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان، العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان، العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، وأعوذ به من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما سيدي ومولاي بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, we have been able to discuss some of the lines from this munajat, and inshallah today we'll continue with that discussion as we always start with the summary of the previous session. Inshallah, I'd like to just talk about a few points of what we talked about in the previous session, and inshallah we'll continue with the munajat. So last time we talked about two things. We talked about Allah's knowledge, how the Imam was depending on Allah's knowledge and saying that, "Oh Allah, you have knowledge of everything. You have knowledge of what's in my nafs. You have knowledge of what my wants are. You have knowledge of what's inside of me. Not only that, but you also have knowledge of what I would like to start my talab with, what I would like to start asking you with, what I want to talk about." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having knowledge of everything. We also talked about briefly that this knowledge of Allah does not contradict the concept of free will. Rather, free will is one of those foundational concepts that is always there. Another thing that we talked about was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how that plays an effect in our life from before we come into this world till the last moment that we're here, and perhaps beyond that as well. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who controls everything. He's the one who's He's the one who manages everything. He's the one who sets up everything for us. We said that everything that He creates, He assigns a goal for it. He assigns a certain measure for it. And similarly for human beings as well, He creates a purpose for us and gives us all the tools that we need to be able to accomplish that goal. One of the most important things that He blesses us with is our own will, is our own irada. So understanding that, yes, that does not negate that all actions can be somehow attributed back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not negate our free will either. Our free will is understood within the light of His will, within the light of His decree, within the light of His irada. So that's something that we talked about last time, and we said that although it's important to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ilm and His decree is all-encompassing, so it's important for us to understand that, and based on that, a person, an abd, a servant, shows his humility towards his Lord, humbles himself that you know everything. You know everything about me. And therefore, I still come to you asking you, even though you know everything. So this is some of the things, some of the concepts that we talked about last time. Inshallah, continuing with the munajat. The next line in the munajat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, this munajat Sha'baniyah that we've been discussing, he says, وَبِيَدِكَ لَا بِيَدِ غَيْرِكَ زِيَادَتِي وَنَقْسِي وَنَفْعِي وَضَرِّي. That, O Allah, it is in your hands all the increase and not in anyone else's hands. You're the only one who controls this. So not only does he establish the fact that it's in control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also negates the fact that no one else has any sort of interference in that, has no any sort of control over that. And he says, ziyadati wa naqsi, so any increase, any decrease, naf'i wa darri, any benefit and any loss, everything, O Allah, is in your hands, and you're the one who controls that. These, again, time and time again, same concepts that have already been established in the Quran. Surah A'raf, chapter 7, verse 188. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي. Say that I don't have anything for myself, nafsi, naf'an wala darra. No benefit and no loss. Nothing is in my control. لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرَّ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So He's the one who controls all good, all bad, increase and decrease, all benefit and loss that I see in my life. He is the only one who controls that. And therefore, whenever I feel the need for any of those things, I humble myself, I go to his door, I do sajda at his door, seeking his mercy, begging him for his mercy, begging him to take me to the right path. Now, when we talk about بِيَدِكَ لَا بِيَدِ غَيْرِكَ زِيَادَتِي وَنَقْسِي, when we talk about that all increase and decrease, all benefit and all loss, everything is in your hands, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This includes all material and immaterial things. This includes everything that I need for my body and everything that I need for my soul. All of these things, because they exist, they can be attributed back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the khaliq of everything, who is the creator of everything. And even the other things that we talked about in the previous section, that some things that he doesn't directly create, but even those things can be attributed back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam in a hadith says, he says, هُوَ قَادِرٌ لِمَا أَقْدَرَكَ وَهُوَ مَالِكٌ لِمَا أَمْلَكَكَ. So he is Qadir in such a way that he's the one who, he has the power in such a way that he's the one who gives you the power. He's the owner in such a way that he gives you the ability to be able to own something, or he gives you that ownership. So everything relates back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the single source of everything. He is the one who creates everything. He's the one who gives sustenance to everything. He's the one who manages everything. There is no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one of the important things for us to be able to understand over here, where the Imam is talking about that all good, all increase, all decrease, all benefit, all loss, everything is in your hand. Sometimes we have these concepts, preconceived concepts in our minds that don't allow us to be able to understand the depth of these munajat, the depth of these words of the infallibles. Sometimes we think that increase always means benefit and decrease always means loss. However, when we look at the traditions, that's not the case. Especially when we consider the fact that all of this increase, decrease, and the benefit and the loss, all of these concepts, are encompass the material and the immaterial. They encompass what relates to my body as well as what relates to my soul. And in extension, what it relates to this world and what relates to the hereafter. So it's an all-encompassing concept. Some people feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're in difficulty, when something's taken away from them. They feel like they can attach themselves. They feel like they can go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much easier. There's some people who know when they've been given the blessings, when they've been given the blessings, they feel like that's a better way for them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah were to give them all these blessings of this world, they would be more inclined to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that's reflected in one of the hadith from one of the hadith Qudsi, which is narrated by Shaykh Saduq, rahmatullah alayh. He says, so he's quoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith Qudsi. Some of my mu'min servants, I'm just going to paraphrase it and just say it in English so we can, inshallah, get through it a little quicker. Some of my mu'min servants, their iman can't be fixed except through poverty. If I make them poor, their iman will stay stable. Their iman will be fixed. But as soon as I give them, if I were to give them everything, it would spoil them. It would spoil them. It would mess up their iman. It would make their iman, decrease their iman. Hadith Qudsi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, on the other hand, there's some of my mu'mins, some of these believers of mine, that only affluence and only independence, and the more I give them, that is the only way for them to be able to maintain their iman. Whereas if I made them poor, they won't be able to handle that. And they would lose their iman. They would lose their iman. And then he continues. It's the same thing with the health. In detail, they repeat the same sort of structure, where the same thing applies to health and sickness. That some mu'mineen, if I give them health, they're grateful and they're able to maintain their iman. Whereas others, no. Only if I give them sickness will they be able to maintain their iman. Will they be able to make that journey towards me and come closer to me? So there's all sorts of people. And then he says at the end, in the end of the hadith, it says, I'm the one who plans for them. I'm the one who decides how to test each and every one of them, because I know their hearts. I have knowledge of what's in their hearts. I'm the one who's made them. I'm the one who knows how they think. I'm the one who understands what will bring them closer to me and what will take them further away from me. So understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-wise, He has these different approaches, different circumstances and setups, if you will, to be able to give us another excuse to come closer to Him. And He knows us better than we know ourselves. We know ourselves. Sometimes it might be the case that a person works relatively hard, right? And they're able to be successful in this world. They're able to get through schooling, for example, in a very good way. They're able to find a really good job that provides for them really well. They're able to start up a business that provides for them really well, and so on and so forth. So this is someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with that increase. With that increase. However, if this mu'min does not realize that he has responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't realize that there's responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains upon each and every one of his servants. However, some responsibilities are specific to a certain set of people. For example, helping the poor. That's not a responsibility necessarily on the poor themselves. If I don't have anything for myself, O Allah, How can I provide for others? If I don't have anything left over, how can I give in Allah's way? But this person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with affluence, has blessed with a good job, has blessed with, provided him with enough and beyond, if this person does not figure out and understand that they have a responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's a khums that relates to their money, that there's mu'mineen, there's brothers and sisters, mu'mins, who has a responsibility towards. If a person doesn't understand these things, doesn't understand that just because they were provided with a certain amount of money, a certain amount of provision, doesn't mean they have to spend all of it on themselves. Doesn't mean that they forget their limits. It doesn't mean that. So a person who loses sight of their responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although they have increase in their life, and anyone who just sees the superficial level, the apparent level of the world, will be very happy for them. You're very successful. You've done so well for yourself. Whereas in reality, that's a loss for them. That's a loss for them. For every responsibility that they lose track of, that they're negligent of, it takes them further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other way works as well. If there's a person who's prayed for nights, who does dua all night long for the past several months, who's given in the way of Allah, who's helped the mu'mineen, who's fasted, and so on, is all sorts of ibadat and worship, forms of worship that you can imagine. However, for some reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't provided them with a source of income, hasn't provided them with a job that they desperately need, hasn't provided them with a breakthrough in their business that they desperately need, hasn't provided them with the spouse that they desperately need, and so on and so forth. If a person has devoted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has tried to correct everything about themselves, has humbled themselves in front of Allah, has begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet Allah hasn't provided that for them. So in reality, this might look like a decrease for someone. But how many people there might be who benefit from such a situation that brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that their dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes better, that the excessive lifestyle that they had previously, they're more vigilant about now. This is a person who in reality is pursuing that path, who's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although in the eyes of the people in this world, he might have a decrease. He might have a decrease. So understanding that all of these things have an apparent and they have something that's behind the apparent. They have something that, the reality of that thing. And when Amir al-Mu'minin over here says, وَبِيَدِكَ لَا بِيَدِ غَيْرِكَ زِيَادَتِي وَنَقْسِي وَنَفْعِي وَضَرِّي, it includes all those things. It includes all those things. But I should not be a mu'min, or I, or anyone should not be a person who doesn't understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't equate increase to benefit and decrease to loss, specifically, for an increase of the worldly belongings and a decrease of the worldly belongings. Doesn't result in their benefit or their loss in terms of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we might be thinking one thing, but Allah is the one who has something else planned for us. If along the way I lose that hope, if along the way I didn't have that foundation that we've been talking about to be able to stay stable, if along the way, and so on and so forth, then I start drifting away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Drifting away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Baqarah chapter 2, verse 216. Kutiba alaykum al-qital. So it's talking about one specific example in the Quran, but it can be, the principle can be applied everywhere. So it's saying, it has been ordained upon you to fight in the way of Allah. Kutiba alaykum al-qital. And then he continues, wa huwa kurhul lakum. But you don't like doing that. It's a responsibility upon you, but you don't like doing that. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And there's a pretty good chance. Be careful. There's a pretty good chance that the things that you don't like, they actually might be good for you. You think it's going to be bad for you, but it's taking you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is your ultimate goal in this world, in this temporary world that we've been put in. That's the only goal that you and I have. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If Allah's told you that's your responsibility, you might not like it, but it's good for you. وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. There's a good chance that there might be things that you love. أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا. That you love something, but it's not good for you. وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. It's bad for you. It's bad for you. And then the punchline. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah's the one who knows. And you do not know. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So we can take this one verse. Although in this specific verse, it starts off with talking about fighting in the way of Allah. But the principle applies across the board. It applies to this job that I desperately want. But I'm not getting it. عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. You might think, you might love to get that job, but it might actually be bad for you. There's this specific person that I want to marry, and no matter what happens, I'm going to marry this person and no one else. عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. If Allah is not making it happen for you, it might be a thing that you love for yourself, but there might be bad in it for you. I can't stand... Or I don't have time to give to volunteer for helping the mu'mineen. I don't have time to volunteer, go help my center, go help my masjid. I don't have time to give to any of those things because I'm so busy at work. So busy at work. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You might not want to do something. You might think it's a waste of your time. But it might be good for you. It might be good for you. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. He's the one who knows. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Therefore, for you to be able to figure out what is actually good for you and what is not good for you, look at the Qur'an. Look at the traditions. Look at what the Prophet has said. Look at what the Imams have said. Look at what the Qur'an has said. They've clarified most, if not all, of these things for us. Everything is there. It's just because I don't spend enough time trying to understand the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet, that I don't understand these things sometimes. Things become unclear for me. On top of that, I haven't created that understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within myself, where I understand that He's the one who decrees everything. He's the one who manages everything. He's the one who runs everything. And all I have to do is submit to that. Yes, I can make my du'as, but I submit to His decree. I submit to whatever He has planned for me. And within that context, I take care of my responsibility. So these are those basic foundational principles that a mu'min's life should be founded upon. And these are the principles that if I am successful, if I'm able to be successful in understanding these and incorporating these in my life, then nothing will be able to stop me on my journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I will get closer and closer and closer to Him. But if I fall prey to the norms of society, to what the society tells me is success, as opposed to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is success, open up the Quran. Look at the Quran, keeps talking about that those are the people who are the faizin. Those are the people who are the successful ones. Those are the people who are the muflihun, the successful ones. I don't spend enough time with the Quran trying to understand how my Allah, how my Lord, how the Lord of the worlds defines success. Rather, whatever society imposes upon me, I so easily accept. Society tells me big house equals success. So I spend my entire life chasing a big house. Society imposes on me X number of cars is success. So I spend my entire life chasing that. Society imposes if you don't have certain investments, you're not successful. I chase my entire life. Entire life after these things. I'm a slave of the norms of society as opposed to being a slave of my Lord, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm a slave of my nafs. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who's taken, verse of the Quran, have you seen the one who's taken their own nafs, their own carnal desires as their ilah? They only worship their own carnal desires and don't look towards Allah. So understanding that there is increase, there is decrease, but that doesn't always equate to what's good for me and what's bad for me. We'll understand that from explicit verses of the Quran. We know that sometimes we fall prey to the norms of the norms of society as opposed to the principles of Quran, and we start living our life by those norms. If my kid doesn't go to a certain school, if my car isn't a certain brand, if my house isn't in a certain neighborhood, if my and so on and so forth. If I don't wear certain type of clothes, if I don't this, if I don't that, everything that I do is what society imposes upon me. Whereas the principles of Allah, when I was young, I was too young. I was still at school. Then I got older, then I got busy with work. Then I got older, then I got busy with kids. Then I got older, then I got busy with other stuff. Then I got older, then I got busy with grandkids. When am I going to spend time trying to figure out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me? What the principles of the Quran are. And this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time for any of us who might not have made that effort previously. The end of Sha'ban, almost entering the holy month of Ramadan. Beautiful time for us to try to reset, try to come back to Allah, beg Him for help. These are the months of istighfar. These are the months of forgiveness. These are the months where Allah's mercy is showered upon the mu'mineen. So let's inshallah try to benefit from this munajat and from the other du'as, seeking Allah's help and trying to guide us towards the right direction, guide us towards Himself. The next line in the munajat says, Ilahi, in haramtani, faman dhalladhi yarzuquni, wa in khadaltani, faman dhalladhi yansuruni. O my Lord, O Allah, O my God, if you deprive me, in haramtani, faman dha alladhi yarzuquni? If you deprive me, O Allah, who's going to provide for me? Wa in khadaltani, if you abandon me, O Allah, who's going to help me? Who's going to help me? See how every single line in this munajat is based on the core of Tawheed. Every single line. If a person doesn't understand those things, will not be able to benefit from this munajat in a way that a person who has understood those things, who's been able to digest that concept of Tawheed, understood it in detail. A person who's never spent time doing that won't be able to benefit from these du'as the way a person who has done that would be able to do. Over here, it's not a direct question of help me. It's not a direct question of give me rizq. Rather, it's a very extreme humility and humbleness and abasing oneself that the words are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing that you're the only one who can help me. But not directly saying, Allah help me. But even more humility, even more humbleness, that Allah, if you don't do it, who will? If you don't help me, who will? So not only accepting the fact that you're the one who controls everything, but also trying to express to our Lord, express to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I've come to that conclusion, O Allah, that you are the only one. Therefore, my dependence is on you and you only. You're the only one I depend on. So there are two things that are being talked about over here. There's the rizq, and then there's the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you deprive me, then who will give me rizq? If you abandon me, then who will help me? So rizq and help. How the scholars have explained rizq is they say that very often, in our understanding, we think that rizq is something that's, you know, it's food. That's the first thing that comes to our mind. When we talk about rizq, we talk about food. If we get really deep into it, if we have a broader mind, we'll say, okay, food and money and clothes and house and car and job and everything. But the scholars say, no, it's beyond that even. Rizq is anything. Anything that man's baqa, man's survival would require, whether it's his body or his soul, anything that Allah can give in that way is rizq, is rizq. So knowledge is rizq, spirituality is rizq, proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rizq, in addition to everything that we already talked about. Where my food, my money, my house, all of those things are rizq as well. So rizq is something more general than just the material needs. But anything, whether material or immaterial, whether for the body or for the soul, anything that I need in to be able to survive, to be able to help myself survive, any of those things are is called rizq. And that survival is not just, as we said, is not just for this world, but even the baqa or the baqa of the soul in the hereafter. In the hereafter. So all of those things that will make my soul eternal in a good way, that will make me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of those things are rizq. On the other hand, anything that assists me in overcoming the barriers, again, whether material or immaterial, whether with the body or related to the soul, anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me, bestows upon me, blesses me with to be able to overcome these barriers is help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is the nusra from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 169. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the shuhada, talking about the people who have given their life in the way of Allah, says, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Rather, the verse before this, this is towards the end of the verse, but before that it says that don't consider the people who have given their lives in the way of Allah as if they're dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Rather, they're alive. Rather, they're alive. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They keep getting their risk with Allah. With Allah. So we understand that this risk that we're talking about is not just related to this world. It's something beyond that. It's not just related to this body, but what relates to the soul as well. Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chapter 47, verse 7. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. O people who believe, if you help Allah, He will help you and He will make you steadfast on the path. Over here as well, the help from Allah, the nusra from Allah that we're talking about over here, it's not material nusra based on what the tafasir say. This nusra, this help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in tansurullah, if you help Allah, as in if you help the deen of Allah, if you help the religion of Allah, yansurkum, Allah will help you. Allah will make your heart stronger. Allah will put your fear in the hearts of the enemies. Allah will ensure that you're steadfast. He will give you that tranquility in your hearts to be able to continue pursuing this path because you're helping the deen of Allah, because you're striving in the way of Allah, that He will yansurukum, He will help you. But this help is not through money. This help is not through a house. This help is not through a job. This help is not through a spouse. Rather, it's in the heart. It's something beyond these material things. It's something that makes a mu'min strong. It's something that makes a mu'min being able to stand any difficulty that comes to towards them in their path. As the verse in Surah Baqarah that we talked about before, that if any musibah comes to this person, these people say, "Qalu, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi rajiun." Any difficulty that comes in their path, they realize that this world is temporary. They say, "This is not for me. Anything that's being taken away is not for me. I actually belong to Allah, and therefore everything that I think is mine also belongs to Allah. So if it was never mine, why am I so upset about having to let it go? Why am I so upset?" So these are the people who've understood these concepts, who've practiced these concepts within their life. And this nusra, this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to them. Explicit verse of the Quran, the strength of the heart, the tranquility, the itminan of the heart, the ability to be able to stand in front of anyone. Verses of the Quran talk about how many of these small groups of mu'mineen have been able to take over larger groups. Why? Because they have the nusra, they have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has promised them that if you come towards me, I will come towards you. If you help my purpose, if you help the goal that I have for my deen, if you help my religion, then I will help you. I'll put tranquility and strength in your heart, and at the same time, I'll put fear in the hearts of the enemies, so that they, even though in the material world they might have more than you, but you are the one who's on top because of me being there with you. So this nusra, this help, this risk is all encompassing, the material and the immaterial. However, the awliya of Allah, those closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salihin, the imams on at the head of them. All of these people have always given preference to the help and the risk that relates more with the soul rather than the body. More with the soul rather than the body. Why is that the case? Because they understand that this world is just temporary. No matter how much money, no matter how many belongings I may have, I will have to leave them back. No one has ever been able to take those belongings with them. And I see that with my eyes on a daily basis. No one, whether they were the poorest of the people or the richest of the people, has ever been able to take any of those material belongings with them to the other side. So these Odia perhaps understand this concept. They don't just regurgitate words. They actually understand this concept. And that's why the risk and the sustenance and the nusra and the help that they seek for, that they focus on, is the one that relates to the soul, is the one that relates to the hereafter. In Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 131, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ, saying that don't get too caught up, don't let your eyes get too caught up with the blessings that we've given to a group of these people. Yes, we've given them blessings, but don't let your eyes get caught up. Explicit verse of the Quran. Explicit verse of the Quran. Chapter 20, verse 131. Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 131. وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ. Don't let your eyes get caught with that. Don't get caught up with those things. And the verse continues, زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, the glitter of this world, these things that we're talking about, these are the glitter of this world. لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِي, we've given these things to them to test them a little bit. So we see around ourselves, how come this person has this? How come that person has this? This person doesn't even pray. How come Allah keeps giving them blessings upon blessings upon blessings? Explicit verse of the Quran. Don't let your eyes get caught up with that. You don't get caught up with that, what we've given some of these people from this glitter of this world, because we gave it to them to test them. وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, but the rizq of your Rabb, the rizq of your Lord, is much better and is much more everlasting. What is this rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributing to Himself? رِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That's the rizq that you and I should be after. That's the rizq that we learn in this munajat, that Amir al-Mu'mineen is pouring his heart out trying to attain that rizq. Why should a follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen be more obsessed with the rizq of this world when he's more obsessed with the rizq of the akhirah? Why should a follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen be more obsessed with the rizq related to the body when Amir al-Mu'mineen is more obsessed with the rizq that relates to the soul? To the soul. So that's talking about the rizq and the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposites of that, what Imam talks about, that if you abandon me, who will help me? If you deprive me, who will give me rizq? Just quickly going through this concept, that this deprivation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's being attributed over here, in haramtani, if you deprive me, khadaltani, if you abandon me. But what we understand from the Quranic verse, what we understand from the Ahadith, what we understand from Islamic ideology is this deprivation or this this lack of help or this abandonment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not really from Him. It's not initiated by Him, I should say. This abandonment is not initiated by Him, rather initiated by me, by myself, because of my shortcomings, because of me not aligning myself with the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, because myself not aligning with the principles of the Quran, that I've brought this upon myself. I've brought this upon myself. Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 6. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there's no living creature in this world, that their risk is a responsibility on Allah. On Allah. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمَسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. All those things, Allah knows already. The risk is Allah's responsibility. The help is Allah's responsibility. But if I start moving away from Allah, He doesn't initiate it. If I start moving away from Allah, He keeps His mercy on me as I go further. He keeps His mercy on me as I go further. He keeps His mercy on me until there comes a point where I've gone so far and I've rejected Allah so much, so many times, that it's not that He takes me and throws me in the wrong direction, but slowly He just takes that mercy away from me. And that is what in these lines is attributed to Allah as you depriving me, whereas in reality it's not Allah depriving us. It's not Him who initiates these things. So things that we should think about, that if it is the case that I've been deprived of this mercy of Allah, if I've been deprived of the rizq of Allah, if I've been deprived of this help of Allah, it's not because He doesn't like me anymore, or it's because I kept moving away from Him, and I abased myself, and I lowered myself so much that I don't have that ability to be able to be blessed with His blessings anymore. It's not an issue from His side. It's myself that I've lowered myself so much, that I've drifted away, so far away, that I don't have that ability to be able to benefit from His blessings anymore. That His blessings are no good for me. If, God forbid, we reach a point where there is abandonment, we feel like Allah has let us go, we feel like that help from Allah, we feel like that risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, still, even under those conditions, a mu'min never leaves their hope in Allah, never leaves their tawakkul on Allah, their dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over here, a mu'min thinks about the various possible reasons why this might be the case. Is it something that I did? Did I violate someone's rights? Did I break someone's heart? Did I say something that might have hurt someone? Did I take the haqq and the right of someone else? Did I take away the haqq of Allah? And so on and so forth. These are things that I need to ponder upon, that I need to look at my life and see where could these shortcomings come from. And try to fix those. Try to go apologize. Try to give back the rights of others. And so on and so forth. And on the other side, from what relates to my soul, is I have remorse about that. I repent about that. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility And as long as these bases are covered, there is absolutely no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not reel me back in, where I will get closer to Him. My status would be elevated to a level where I will be able to accept His blessings again, inshallah. I'd like to apologize. We had announced that we'd do a Q&A session, and there have been questions that have been coming in through the email. If you have any questions, please do email. There was an email, I believe it was on the poster. There might be on your screen as well. What we'll do, inshallah, is tomorrow is the last session that we have of this series, inshallah. With Allah's tawfiq, we'll continue tomorrow and end tomorrow. What we'll do is, after tomorrow's session, we'll have that Q&A session. Inshallah, try to make sure that the questions relate to the things that we've talked about. Those are the questions that will be given priority. We already have a few questions that have come in already. So if you have any, please do email them on the email address, and inshallah we will try to answer them tomorrow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of these nights, for the sake of this holy month, to forgive us our sins, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of the mu'mineen and the mu'minat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of this holy month and the upcoming holy month, give us the tawfiq to be able to understand Him, to be able to get closer to Him, to be able to understand what success truly means in His life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that success. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our Imam, and inshallah include us amongst His sincerest followers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.